This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I believe in societal norms.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream
don't
at me on the show.
Defend them.
It was horrifying.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gundling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
That's right. Peter's off. Andrew Gundling filling in on ENN on the 4th of July weekend. A lot of people in their cars. I hope everybody's driving safe to wherever they're going this weekend. And we start out ENN by saying hello to Michael.
I re-laminate all the time.
And hello to Don.
The one person that's the most likely to throw a trident is David Cohn.
And a hello to Ryan Rucco as well.
You think Wayne Randazzo's taking me out?
Carlin shared my opinion. He said it more a lot nicer than I did.
So does that make it right because Carlin said it?
Oh, I'm just all any argument it is compiling assets for for later on, right? That's all we do. I think everything we do in life is we're trying to get somebody to agree. You listen to most of my arguments. You saw the respect I have for Andrew. I'm always begging Andrew.
I know. I didn't have your back tonight. I'm sorry.
No, and you rarely ever do.
I don't know.
But that's why I value if I win Andrew over, then I won the nation.
Yeah. It's like Cronkite.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a compliment. Thank you. Let's see. Before we start, Ian, I want to wish a happy birthday to anyone know?
Larry David.
Yeah.
That's right. Very good. 74 years old, Larry David, today.
That is an amazing stat, right? He does not act, look at all like a 74-year-old man.
You know what's weird? I read this story. So he was born in a hospital in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
And 2 days before, in that same hospital, Richard Lewis was born.
Yeah.
And they're like lifelong friends, but they both went to the same camp. They hated each other. And I've told the story before. And then they find out all these years later, as they become great friends, did you go to this? And then they found out they were born in the same hospital 2 days later. Kind of spooky.
Yeah.
And that part's spooky, but I could totally see, you know, not being friends with somebody and then meeting them, you know, years later and then becoming friends with them.
I couldn't.
No, they'd be on your list.
Yeah, they'd be on the list.
By the way, I saw that, speaking of Larry David and Curb, Jeff Garland was just on a podcast the other day, I think the Tim Dillon Show, and he was talking about whether or not how many more they're going to do. He said we could maybe do one more.
One more year?
One more season. I don't know when that would be. He said, you know, Larry's in his 70s. Don't get me wrong. He's in good shape. But he's in every scene, working every day, having to be there at 6:30 in the morning. I don't know if physically he can do more than, let's say, another season. I think he could do another. I don't know if he has two in him.
Wow. Sad.
How many people realize how demanding it is to act on television with the quick turnaround for episodes? Maybe it's a little easier for an HBO where it's not every single week and they only maybe do 11 or 12 a season. But, you know, you're probably putting in maybe sometimes 16, 18-hour days.
If I were Larry, I'd turn around and fire Garland right away for saying that. But that's just me.
But Larry, I'm sure Larry told him that.
Also,
I mean, Larry would probably say it too if you asked him, and he would probably have that exact answer.
Is it such an awful thing that Jeff said? I don't think there's anything in there that's so terrible.
Like if Don was telling people on the side, right? I think Kay has maybe a year left. That's it. I'd say, you know what? You're out.
See ya!
Either you're out or I'm out. If you think I don't have another year, you're out.
Well, that's pretty revealing, Andrew, considering that he says it on a constant basis on the show.
I could say it.
Right.
You know, the one thing about Larry, like what you were saying, Don, before, how he doesn't look 74, that's amazing to hear that he's that age. I think it's because, like, when you see him in Seinfeld, which was now 30 years ago, as Frank Costanza's lawyer with the cape on, he looked the way
same.
He does now then.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a compliment to how he looks now, or I don't mean it as this, or an insult to how he looked then, but he looks exactly the same. So happy birthday to him, 74 years old. Also, I want to give a quick congratulations to Melissa Gonzalez. She qualified for the Tokyo Olympics. She's going to represent Colombia in the 400-meter hurdles. So why would I be telling you this? And more so, why did the Detroit Lions tweet this out?
I don't know.
Because Melissa Gonzalez is married to...
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
No way.
How about that?
All right.
That's right. Melissa and David both attended Creekview High School in Carrollton, Texas. So,
wow.
Yep. Congrats to them and somebody that we can, I guess, root for here on the K-Show.
Michael's ruined me on the Olympics. Not that I was the biggest fan in the world, but Michael has just killed it dead. I won't watch a second.
You know what? I got to tell you a story, Don, I've never told you. So you know how I've killed the Olympics on a yearly basis. I was up for a very big job at NBC, and then they researched some of the stuff I said. That killed me.
I could see that.
Yeah. They said, you're going to kill our top product? You're out, jerk.
And
they said jerk, too.
And I got to tell you, like just the trials on NBC are destroying everything. So can you imagine the number the Olympics will do? But
so it's ruined.
Won't have me.
It's ruined
if
for you.
If you followed hockey,
it's ruined for you to a level, Don, where you won't be into Olympic hockey. Assuming, and it sounds like NHL players might come back for it. You won't be into it.
That I would be into, but not from the Olympic sense. More like the hockey sense. You know what I'm saying?
Beautifully said.
So like you won't
He's
care.
He's not going to wrap it in some kind of flag.
I love baseball. You think I'm going to watch a second of Olympic baseball? No.
Well, no, but Olympic hockey, I think, is a much bigger thing than Olympic baseball, especially if NHL players are playing in it.
It's because it's a thing, right? So I'll watch it because it's players that I know. Would I be as engaged in it if it weren't the NHL players? Probably not.
Won't care if the U.S. wins or if the Czech Republic wins. That'll make no difference to you.
I'd like to see the NHL, the USA win, but here's what it comes down to. I'm not interested in anything that the Olympics do other than maybe the basketball and hockey. I'm not going to go and watch people swim.
The
fact that the Olympics is not going to get me interested in it.
Is the premise that they're trying to hook you into. All of these people, and I shouldn't say all because that gets me in trouble. These are independent contractors looking for their moment of greatness, and I don't blame them. They've worked their whole life. But to wrap it in a flag, I don't buy it. I'm not buying it. Sorry. If you said the Olympics are none of these people are representing countries, you are simply representing yourself that have the same amount of participants.
But
not like a guy throwing a stick as far as he can do it.
If I was more interested, I would be able to fight through the corruption. But it's easy because I'm not that interested. So to throw the corruption in makes it like signed, sealed, and delivered for me.
And you know what? I love corruption in every way, shape, and form. But it just bothers me.
That's a weird take.
I'm kidding. I don't love corruption.
Well, you tolerate it more than most.
Not a lot, because you know what? I'm a realist, and I know what happens all around us every day.
But I'm happy for those athletes. It's great for them. I'm not against them. I'm not as bitter as Michael is about it. It's just not something I'm going to watch.
Well, fair enough. Something people will be watching, certainly here in New York tonight, the Subway Series at Yankee Stadium, Taiwan Walker against Jordan Montgomery. Lots of Met moves today. Some of the bigger ones, Marcus Stroman is off the bereavement list. Jerry's Familia, Tomas Nito, Brandon Nimmo, all reinstated from the IL. David Peterson, though, going on to the IL. A couple quick Yankee notes. Clint Frazier going on the IL with vertigo. Aaron Boone says he's going to keep undergoing more tests. And also, Aroldis Chapman, he's struggled of late. You guys have talked about that. Aaron Boone was asked before the game about Chapman's status as the closer.
Aaron, if you get a save situation tonight, is Chapman your choice?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not at a place yet where he struggled enough that you're going to try low leverage situations?
Now, there may be situations that I get him in along the way here, you know, if it's not exactly a save situation and, you know, he's had a day off or something. So try and get him into some scenarios where, you know, it's a little more regular. We're doing some things with him in his pregame and, you know, getting him on the slope a little bit more, you know, working through some things, delivery that'll help unlock that command a little bit. So, but no, I plan on him closing if we're in that position. You never know where the game takes you. But yeah.
I don't understand that people expect the guy to pull the plug on Chapman at this point. He's got to work it out. He's got to, for them to win, he's got to be great.
If it is a confidence issue, the last thing, you're not helping him going saying publicly that I'm not going to use him in a close game because I'm worried about him.
Right.
That would kill him.
A couple other baseball notes here. Aaron Judge named a starter for the American League All-Star team. He's the only Yankee or Met to make it. It's his third selection since 2018. A pretty impressive stat here. He's the fourth Yankee to start the All-Star game in at least three of his first five career MLB seasons, starting with the year that they exceeded their rookie limits. The others are Joe DiMaggio, Joe Gordon, and Mickey Mantle.
Can I say something that will be very, very controversial?
I love it. I know what you're going to say.
I don't think he should go.
Yep.
If your body is so beaten up that you couldn't play a regular season game, why would you play an exhibition game? Take that time off. That's really going to get you better. I'm sorry. I mean, if you want to show up and wave, but why would you put that stress on your body? I don't get it.
It's such an interesting quandary for baseball in general, because if everybody is so analytically driven and giving guys days off, does it make sense that Judge didn't play in a big game, but he's going to fly to Colorado, you know, go through all the pomp and circumstance of the All-Star game and then play in the game? Does that make sense?
I remember this being a thing for Carmelo Anthony too, right? Didn't he miss most of the first half of the season, still got voted in, and then elected to still go and play?
Yep.
Now, I guess their argument's going to be, listen, it's not going to be a lot of innings. He just gets in at bat. But
also, are there rules that would dictate whether or not he can just decide not to go if he's been voted in by the fans?
No.
If he says that I can't play because my body's banged up, they've got to let him out. I mean, they probably say you have to show up.
Well, the NHL's got the rule that if you pass on the All-Star game, you're suspended for the first game back.
Right.
Of the season. So if you're hurt, then you shouldn't be playing in it anyway, because they see the value in you playing in it. But it's also not a sport that believes in load management or players taking time off. But baseball fundamentally does not want you playing every day. And they care about things like ups, right? And all that. They get really into that. Oh, but go fly, you know, 2,500 miles away and go play in a completely meaningless game. That's okay.
Also, Jacob DeGrom named the National League Pitcher of the Month today. I mentioned that Judge is the only New Yorker so far to be in the All-Star game. Once pitchers are announced, how many more Yankees or Mets do you think we'll see? I mean, obviously DeGrom, I would think Cole. Stroman, Walker, do they have a chance? Has Chapman fallen out of contention?
I think Diaz has a shot.
Okay.
But I don't think anybody else.
I think Sanchez should be in there.
Well, the way he's playing, for sure.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going to make everybody happy right now,
please.
But by crying. There's something on Instagram right now where Trevor Williams shares the ball with his dad, Trevor Williams of the Pirates, and just to see his dad's reaction, I'm sitting here crying right now.
I got to see that.
It's on Instagram. I think Major League Baseball. Let's see. It's a Sports Center. It's a Sports Center put it out.
That's nice. I'll check that out. Thanks for the heads up. Yep. Let's see. Stanley Cup Final resumes tonight. Game 3. Lightning Canadiens in Montreal. Tampa up 2-0
so far in the series. It's a sweep, Don.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
They belong on the same ice.
Is there any way back, Don, for Montreal?
Well, here's the thing. I had their play-by-play announcer Dan Robertson on my podcast. Check it out where you get your podcast. And how do you look at it? Like, they found the template for winning. They played so well, just continue to do that, you get back in the series. Or do you look at it as we played so well and yet we still lost the game? Listen, Tampa's better. Montreal's not winning the series. A sweep, that's tough. They haven't played a home game yet. It'll be a first Stanley Cup final in the Bell Center, first Stanley Cup in Montreal since 93. I picked Tampa in 5, so I think Montreal's going to get a game, but it'd be the first sweep since 98 if it happens. So I can understand you thinking that, Michael.
It's over.
Let's see. A lot going on, guys, at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit.
It's always my favorite classic.
Not a sentence I ever would have thought I'd utter.
Golf is garbage.
First, guys, are we seeing another example of the Koepka-DeChambeau rivalry being a work?
Oh, yeah.
DeChambeau's caddy, Tim Tucker, was on the bag for him for DeChambeau at the start of the week. However, DeChambeau told ESPN's Michael Collins that him and Tucker are going to take some time apart. So then, after this was reported, Brooks Koepka didn't miss a beat, went right to Twitter, and shouted out his caddy, Ricky Elliott, writing, "Couldn't do it without my guy, Rick." So we ask again, is this a real rivalry or a publicity stunt?
No, I don't know if we'll ever know.
It's a work.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that, too. I believed in it as a real rivalry, but I don't know anymore.
The more it piles up, it just has that feel of it.
Yeah, I think so. Another odd thing about this tournament, Phil Mickelson took part for the first time in the event's three-year history, and now it's also apparently going to be the last time he takes part because of a story published this week by the Detroit News, which obtained federal court records from 2007 detailing how a Michigan-based bookie allegedly cheated Mickelson out of $500,000. Phil said, "It was so much effort for me to be here and to have that type of unnecessary attack. Not like I care. It happened 20-something years ago. It's just the lack of appreciation. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see me coming back. Not that I don't love the people here. They've been great, but not with that type of thing happening."
Well, you know what? I like Phil Mickelson. What a D-nozzle thing to do. Like the people in the tournament have something to do with the Detroit News and what they write?
Yeah.
And really, it's a story. It wasn't made up. He got rooked out of $500,000 like a rube, and he's going to not come back to that tournament because of what the newspaper wrote? Yeah. Imagine getting ripped out of 500 grand. What a rube. That's why he's upset, because he's been exposed as a rube.
That'll do it for ENN for this week.
Glad I could end on that, Don, to really make you laugh. In the words of Billy Joel, I think series of blows and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See everybody. You know what? Chris Carlin's coming up next. He's not a Rube. Next.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.